good morning.
How are you?
Hey, hey, Cripple Creek Ferry.
Hey, nice.
I'm
good choice.
Feeling great. Neil Young, last song on After the Gold Rush, Cripple Creek Ferry.
It's a mighty tight squeeze.
It's only a minute long. We'll just let it play while I have coffee. I'm not properly caffeinated.
All alone, the captain stands. Hasn't heard from his deckhands. The gambler tips his hat.
And this is how you know it's the off-season. We're letting a minute of music play.
It's the worst week of sports news ever. So welcome.
And you know he still hates to lose. Is my mic on? It's not.
Ah, sounds good.
My mic's on.
Is it?
Yeah. Every week.
Yeah,
one of us.
On. 1, 3, and 4. Mic is on.
Okay.
I promise you. I promise.
I mean, there's been plenty of times it's not on.
All right, shut up. Welcome to Point of Order. I am Joe Sonnenblick,
and
as always.
I am Jason Bogdan. With me, always to my right, is... And we have a special cancer today, special guest today, who's here.
Oh,
just how long have we been
doing
this?
Turn on everybody's mic.
Just to say hello, because they do not want to be on the show at all, is my other half, Sarah.
Well, it doesn't mean that I don't want to be on the show. It just means that I'm not an expert in what you're talking about. I know absolutely nothing about sports, so I leave it to these guys. But I support the radio, and I think that if you have a penny or a nickel or a quarter, you should donate to Radio Free Brooklyn.
Wow. We have not had that promo in a while.
And now my mic is going off. Thank you for having me.
We'll leave it on.
All right, we'll leave
I
it
mean,
on.
You know, yeah, that's the cutting insight we need.
Yep.
Into I mean, you're one better than Steve. I'll give you that.
True.
What you just said.
He was my bar that I was trying to pass. So thank you, Steve, for the inspiration. And now I leave it to these guys.
You know what they said? The ceiling is the floor.
So as I sit here, as we open, there's a piece of paper in front of me. And this piece of paper says, and I'm quoting, "Dinosaurs in my ass, Family Matters in my ass, 60 Minutes in my ass, Saturday Night Live in my ass, the $25,000 pyramid in my ass." Do you realize that somebody before us was sitting here writing these things down?
Phil Jackson has been in the studio.
All right, now that the editorial notes are done.
So Phil Jackson has employed... Joakim Noah. And Joakim Noah.
Can we back this up?
Yeah.
To the signing.
Yeah.
When
Joakim
I said.
Noah, yeah, it's bad. Bad signing.
What a bad signing. And I thought, what a bad sign just because of the money.
That's what we said.
But it was exciting to have him.
Right. Because we thought with him and Derrick Rose together, they could maybe recapture some of their Chicago Bulls glory of getting beat in the second round of the NBA playoffs.
Which
every
at this
year.
Point we would take.
Oh, I would take 41-41 at the moment. But Joakim Noah gets busted, even though he's suspended for 20 games for over-the-counter drug. At least we know they weren't performance-enhancing.
Well,
at least we know this.
I can tell you they weren't performance-enhancing.
At least we know that. And the fact now is the suspension's going to be retroactive to the games he's sitting out, and then he'll serve like 10 next season. Can you make it 82?
Well,
do we have to pay him? Is there a way we could let him out of this contract? Hey, you violated some shit here. Can you go?
Well, I think it opens the door for...
Who wrote the article?
Which one?
Stephen
Bondi.
Oh, okay.
Bondi.
I like Bondi.
I like Bondi.
I like Flip.
I like, Stephen is his son, I believe.
I've never read Stephen, then.
Let me skim through.
We got the Daily News here as our source.
Every Sunday, for those that don't know, I read the paper.
Every Sunday, the Daily News is very important.
We're just going to sit here as he reads.
We're going to sit here and read the paper to you.
But, you know, as always, I like to update you guys on Linda's Sunday activities during the show. Sometimes the soccer game.
She's working on Saravaggio's Jesus pictorial puzzle.
Sometimes soccer. Sometimes she shops online. Sometimes she watches dog and cat videos.
Arsenal's not losing today, so she can't watch them.
Building puzzles.
She's building puzzles for NASA.
She has an app on her phone. And she's building puzzles.
Welcome to my life.
App on her iPad, excuse me. She's on the snap face.
Welcome to her life.
All right.
My life.
Let me get these details on the suspension. Please, fill the air.
Well, it's 20 games. It's a 20-game suspension. But they said it was something over-the-counter.
He tested positive for an over-the-counter supplement.
What was he taking?
I don't know.
Advil?
Selective androgen receptor modulator, LCD.
That's what I thought it was. That when I watched
when
him
you
play.
Said Advil,
when I,
when
when
you
I
said
watched
Advil,
him
you really
play,
meant that.
When I watched him play, I thought this guy's on LCD 403.
So did I. What is that? That's like a pair of New Balances.
It's defined as a non-steroidal selective and androgen receptor modulator.
And you can't do that. I mean, it's clear.
Much like testosterone can create anabolic activity in muscle and bone.
So it's steroids without steroids.
Yeah. Who cares? I mean, really, at this point, who gives a shit about Joakim Noah?
Well, I'm just happy because now it's
is there a
know,
way to
it's
let
Willie's
him go?
Time. It's Willie's time. I mean,
well,
Hernan Gomez.
Willie's time.
No, I know, but now there's no bullshit. You
yeah,
know, like
Billy's the man.
That needs to be his spot.
And let me tell you something else. I mean, I've been watching some. You can at 6 minutes at a clip, you could watch the Knicks. That's the most you could get out of the Knicks these days. And let me tell you about the Kuzminskis. The Kuzminskis is very good skis.
Yeah, like
he's very good.
We've
skis.
Liked him.
Yeah, but he's taking levels. He's up to a new level. He's hitting threes again. He's distributing the rock well. Now, one of the things I want to see from the New York Knicks is that something we've seen the last 2 years. You got to clean the fucking house.
Yeah.
You got to burn the burnt building down to the ash that will resurrect this one-storied franchise into, you know, whatever.
The problem with that is, you know, what do you do once you burn it to the ground? You know, you still got Phil Jackson there. You still got James Dolan there.
Yeah.
So, you know, same clown still running the circus.
Well, James Dolan he's not going anywhere until he croaks in his fucking owner's box. He's not going anywhere.
Well,
so that's something we have to get resigned to. Phil Jackson can go somewhere. He can leave.
He certainly ain't going back to the Lakers.
No, I definitely don't think so. I mean, they're going to be doing it the right way in Lakerland in the next 2 years. Trust me on that.
With Magic
in there.
You hear what Kobe said?
Yeah.
Kobe said, I'm only a phone call away. That's what he said.
He's going to be an assistant coach.
Yeah, he's not. I don't think he wants to play anymore, but I think he wants
to
definitely be involved.
He's
going
to be an assistant coach or he's going to be an assistant to Magic. And that's okay. But let me tell you what the Lakers are going to do in this coming offseason. They're going to sign Paul George.
Sure.
They're going to get Paul George. They're going to give him a max deal. They're going to get all the bad contracts out of there, your Nick Youngs, your Timofey Mozgovs, your Meta World Peace, whatever. You're going to get those guys out of there. They're going to get a backup point guard. They might even get Lou Williams back from the Rockets, who they traded him to. I think the Lakers are going to be hovering around 40 to 45 wins next year.
Which is
respectable to come back.
Sure.
Listen, the NBA needs the Lakers. The NBA doesn't need the Knicks.
Yeah.
The NBA really doesn't need the Knicks. The NBA really needs the Lakers.
No, the NBA doesn't need the Knicks, but the NBA is better when the Knicks are competitive.
But how about this, NBA? How about this? How about you give the Knicks some calls so they can be competitive?
Yeah,
I mean, it's crazy. And I don't like to do that. I'm not somebody, like when the Mets are bad, the Mets were bad, okay? And the umpires didn't help them though, but the Mets were bad. The Knicks are bad, but you could attribute, I would say, 6 to 8 losses on bad officiating.
Well,
that,
I mean,
that's
yeah, go
then
ahead.
Later determined that it was bad
yeah.
officiating.
Why do you give me this 2-minute report? How about just be better in those 2 minutes?
Yeah, this is just like
that's just
he,
like
we know we fucked
salt
up.
In my eyes.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I watched it. I know what basketball is. How do I know what basketball is better than David Aldridge? Okay, you can't call a man gay. Don't call a man gay. You're gonna get fined if you call a man gay. But listen, gay referee. Officiate better.
And we're not here. Thanks.
Thank you.
We're not saying that he's making bad calls because he's gay.
No. Just like the Becky Harmon, who's going to probably get the coaching job. I think Notre Dame women are looking for a new head coach. She's going to go from Spurs assistant coach. She was a referee for like a minute. And they also have 2 female referees who are doing a better job than some of the male referees. So you got to get people that have been referees for how about a minimum of 5 years?
But I also think you need to hold referees accountable. Now, we don't know what that process looks like, right? But if the 2-minute report comes out and they blow calls, what happens to referees?
I don't know. Nothing, I don't think.
Then why would they change?
I don't know.
Great.
I have no insight on that.
That's a really nice cardigan you're wearing today,
Thank
by
you.
The way.
Thank
I want to let everybody know.
Linda's parents got this for me.
Hey,
many
Feliz
years
Navidad.
Ago.
For Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. The 2 words he knows, he got the right holiday.
Se bueno, se bueno.
Yeah, I see.
That's good. Becky's might go to Florida. That's who's
true. Oh, Florida.
Becky's
okay,
Florida.
Becky's going to Florida.
I thought she was just like talking about her friend.
No.
Becky's going to Florida.
No,
well, that's great. Do we need to discuss that right now?
No. I thought it was Notre Dame. Excuse me. But anywho.
Hey, I'm on the ball today.
You're on it. Yeah, you're right.
We'll get to the balls in a minute.
Yeah.
But anywho, with Joakim Noah, I hope the Knicks were smart enough to put some sort of suspension clause in his contract where you don't have to really pay him that much money or you have to Well, you can let him go.
He's forfeiting somewhere between $2 to $3 million. That's about it.
Oh, dropping the bucket for old Joaquin. Oh, what is that? Two cars?
Well, look. Ugh, what a bad sign.
Bad.
Just bad.
Now it looks bad.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. The guy took an over-the-counter supplement, right?
How did
there
you
is
read
a
it?
Possibility. There is a possibility he didn't know what that was.
Of course.
Right? There is a possibility.
Okay, as an athlete.
You don't take that risk.
Right, as an athlete, when you're making $18 million a year to do absolutely nothing, when you're stealing from us to do absolutely nothing, and, you know, maybe there's a chance you play next year in a lesser role, whatever. When you're doing that, you can afford to pay a nutritionist or an herbalist $75,000 to $100,000 a year to walk into a drugstore with you with the list.
Or for you.
Or for you with the list of what's banned and what's not banned and pick out your shit.
No, like, doesn't the Knicks themselves have
trainers? Of course.
Trainers?
Yep, Derek
and,
Rose
and I'm
said that.
I'm pretty positive that the Knicks trainers are not that great.
It's
considering how much injuries and things are going on right now, I just feel like they're dropping the ball. I don't think they're, like, helping them enough.
There's no sports team in New York that gets strength and conditioning right. I mean, oh, look, I'm getting a call in on the phone.
Wow, that's not good. I'm on the radio, Avi. You're not listening. Aaron, if your brother's calling me, tell him not to call me right now.
Yeah, well, last week we found out your toilet was fixed live on the air.
I fixed my toilet, everybody.
2 weeks ago we found out you needed toilet paper. What will we discover about the Sonnenblick household today?
Well, this one's got nothing to do with the Sonnenblick household. This one's got to do with the television pilot that we're shooting. But we'll get... I digress.
Derek Rose said, and this is just goes to what you were saying, I don't take anything unless the Knicks give it to me, the team doctors. I don't play around with that. So,
is that clearly, smart? I guess that's smart.
Yeah, because it's approved by the team. So let's say they give him something that's banned. He could just sue them. He'll get all his money back and leave New York like he should.
Yeah.
Though, again, he's had a decent year.
But, yeah, Derek Rose is leaving New York, and we're okay with that. We have to start fresh at every position, it seems like. I mean... And you also gotta work with Porzingis next year and in the offseason. And you got to get this guy some muscle, man. Because I don't understand how a guy that's this fucking tall gets run into by a guy who's 5'9 and his hip breaks. Yeah. I don't understand that. So you gotta figure him out a little bit and finesse him into a way where he's in basketball big man shape. Because one of the things he's got to do, he's 7'3". He might be the second tallest man in the NBA, if not the tallest. He's got to get into the post, man. I don't need this guy taking 11 threes a game.
Yeah, even if he can hit threes.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Five, at most.
I got other people who can shoot threes.
Well, yeah, you know? And
well,
miss
we
them,
can.
Like Lance
yeah,
Thomas.
We can. Yeah, well, Lance yeah. Thomas, come on. That's Lance Thomas, that was...
Bum. I hate him. He's the Jared Dudley of now. Yeah. I hate Lance Thomas. So let's get to Lonzo Ball and this. And
what
this.
The fuck is it with this guy?
This guy. Well, I mean, Lonzo's great.
He's blackballing his son is what he's doing.
That's LaVar is the blackballer.
Lonzo's the father. Yeah.
Yeah, Lonzo's the kid.
He's unreal.
Woo! Can he play? But he also got outplayed against, I believe it was Kentucky. What was it, Kansas? I don't know. I don't watch that shit.
I don't either.
I think it was Kentucky. He only scored 10 points or 12 points in a game where he, by all accounts, should have had more, I guess. Again, don't watch that shit. I think it's horrible. But this guy, LaVar Ball, who is annoying me because Lebatard has to talk about him because Lebatard hates First Take and plays First Take during his show, which is so great. It's so funny. And they have Stephen A. Smith, like, to lead into First Take, they have him, like, yelling, "Lord!" And then that's how they, like, lead into them watching First Take. So LaVar Ball said one of the most infuriating things that I've heard a sports parent say. Now, this is a guy who's banking on his three children. I mean, they're well-to-do. They've got money. I don't know how much money, but they've got money. And LaVar Ball started his clothing line with his sons, the three Bs, something Ball Billionaire or something like that. I forget what it was. But started this clothing line. And Lonzo's really good. He's going to be either number one or number two coming into the NBA draft. And this guy has the balls to say that, he averaged 2.2 points per game in college. That's
the father.
The father.
Right.
The father did. Yep. He averaged 2.2 points per game in college and then said, Michael Jordan was a great five-on-five player, but I can take him one-on-one any day of the week. Now, See, these are the type of people that, I mean.
Big baller brand.
Big baller brand, yeah. Great. It's like Starberry.
$60 t-shirts.
Great. Yeah, let me get four. I'll take
you
four.
You could have bought like three pairs of Starberries for $60.
What? You could have bought six pairs of Starberries and met Stephon Marbury and got him signed for less than $60, and then Marbury would give you $5 back because you don't have change for the bus.
I love Marbury.
I do too.
Love those shoes. They were great.
Big in China.
I had them.
Big in China.
He had a one-man show in China.
Yeah.
It's legitimately a theatrical performance.
I mean, he's got statues of him around China.
It's great.
I mean.
It's great. He ripped the Knicks off and then went to China.
Amazing.
It was great.
Let's be fair, though. He was great before the Knicks.
Oh, sure. He was Stephon Marbury.
One of the best.
Yeah.
So back to LeVar Ball. How dare you insult me? I got most of Michael Jordan. I didn't get to see early Michael Jordan. I got most of Michael Jordan. Now, we have arguments about who's the greatest football player, baseball player. You could go as far as hockey, whatever, football, European football. There is no argument. Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player of all time.
Sure.
There's no argument. And the fact that you're a salesman, you're selling your son. But you don't have to sell your son. You know what sells your son? Your son sells your
but
son.
But he's not selling his son.
Well, he's trying to sell him.
But he's going to frustrate teams, and teams are not going to want to. He's now bringing a circus with him. Nobody wants that shit.
Now, Knick fans, if you're listening, 718-928-9732, do you want Lonzo Ball?
At this point, I would take LeVar Ball at 2 points a game.
Do you want Lonzo Ball knowing that you get his father?
That's a good question.
You.
That's.
I mean, I would put clauses in that contract.
Like, you can only come ban him from the arena?
Only come to a certain number of home games.
Oh, so he's getting the Charles Oakley deal?
Yeah. You can't live with your son. Mm-hmm. Like, that sort of thing. You cannot have. We will pay for your son's housing the first year until he finds it on his own. Like, that's. I would not. He is going to kill his son's career.
Yeah, I agree.
You've seen it. You've seen it before.
Well, this stuff is kind of disgusting, too. This clothing line that they got going.
I'm sure that's bad.
It's not good looking.
I'm sure
Linda
it's not
is
good.
On bigballs.com. I'm not sure that that's the website where you buy the shirts.
Steve, call in.
That's
call
only a tab,
in.
All right?
You want to say absolutely? Call in. Tell me why you want Lonzo Ball. I want him, too.
Steve doesn't have a phone, apparently, in Seattle.
You don't have a phone?
They cut him off.
Frazier?
Yeah.
We're listening.
I'm listening.
But really, I still want him. But you got to put clauses in this fucking contract that tell me and tell him, keep your father at a distance.
Well, and also, to bring up Jordan, Michael Jordan might be the greatest athlete of all time.
Yeah.
The most recognizable sports figure ever.
Yeah.
So, to take your point a step further, oh shit, it's Jordan, isn't it?
Well, Lonzo also thought he could take Michael. Balls.
Hello. Hello, how's it going? First off, I want to say hello to Miss Sarah Bluff for filling it admirably.
Hello, I can tell that you've paid attention to the literature you got at your apartment recently, because that middle name really.
Oh, right. No.
Yeah, I know. Were your parents a fan of the show? Is that what it was?
That and some familial history, but we don't need to get into that because not related.
Yeah,
we're
gonna get into our divorce in a few years on the show. But
yeah,
let's
you're really killing me
wedding.
Here, Steve. I didn't know we were doing pleasantry hour. Yeah. Just fucking talk about why you want Lonzo.
Steve, we're listening.
Because you have to, people don't realize that he is, like you said, a salesman. He's a con artist, and he's a guy who's just trying to fucking raise hell. He doesn't matter. He's not going to ruin his son's career. The fact is, his son is going to go number one or number two, probably number one, honestly. And the fact is, his talent supersedes all of it. And why? I mean, didn't you learn this fucking lesson last November? Guy just talks shit. People believe it, and they give him a platform, and all of a sudden he's a millionaire. I mean, he doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. He's just an old man. You think, Joe, you honestly think that they should put a clause in there to make sure that he doesn't live with his son for a fucking year?
Yes.
Come on, man.
The first year.
That ain't going to happen.
Why not?
He's a fucking 20-year-old. He don't want to live with his dad. If he's making $1 million, fucking $5 million a year.
Have you ever listened to this show? This show is not based in any form of reality.
Yeah, we're just telling you something. We're telling you something we may think happen. That may happen. But if it does happen, right? If it does happen that the Knicks somehow, I mean, right now they're number four, and if they can somehow get to Lonzo Ball.
We're at like five or six.
Yeah, I have it here.
I thought we were four with last night's loss.
We're five.
We're five.
Now we got to keep the tank rolling. Although you know what, it, what was good? Orlando lost, or no? Orlando won, and I think Philly won, which they have like the same number of wins as us. So it's gonna be we need a good fucking lucky roll.
What are we? 25 and 48
27 27 and 46
Yeah, 27 wins. Yeah.
Okay.
We got to keep that tank rolling, boys.
So nine games left.
Well, nobody's going to – I mean, nobody should be playing anymore at this point, right? I mean, Melo doesn't need to play anymore.
I mean,
Joakim Noah doesn't need to play anymore.
Yeah, definitely not. Next year either.
Yeah, well, we almost won last night, for God's sake, against the Spurs.
Yeah, I caught a little bit
that's
of it.
Scary.
It's great. We're saying that's scary.
You don't want to win. He's right.
I agree.
You don't want to win anymore, and you want to do your due diligence right now and scout as much as humanly possible for this thing, because this is the best offensive draft in years. And one thing you need terribly is a point guard, one, that runs the floor, two, that can distribute, and three, that can score. I don't care about 25, 13, and 10. I want like a 15 and 11 guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you win. That's how you're going to win.
You want a 15 and 11 guy who's a general on the floor. Right.
Yeah. But do you think Lonzo Ball is a general?
Yes. And here's the problem with scouting via the tournament, because sometimes a lot of people come up to the forefront during the tournament. Like, for example, last night, Oregon won. Collectively, they're a very good team, but individually, they're not made of great players. Like Lonzo Ball, when you watch him, he has this like vision on the court where he just fucking he hits the guys in the goddamn pocket and they get a slam dunk. Like it's so you can see has like that it factor. You know? So you see him, he can distribute. He has a stupid shot, but it fucking goes in. Not at the clip that, like, you know, they say, oh, he's better than Steph Curry. Like, obviously, he still has to work on that. But, he makes shots, he can distribute, and he's a pretty good defender as well. So just because his team got knocked out of the tournament, it doesn't really mean anything. I mean, the fact is, college basketball is kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
It's a video game.
It's horrible.
I can't watch it.
It's horrible.
The big comparison
I've
seen a lot of people make, Steve, is that he reminds a lot of folks of Jason Kidd. Do you see that?
I do. Yeah, I mean, he does have that like intelligence about him and sort of tenacity, especially early Jason Kidd.
Well, there's no way
anything can happen.
There's no way the Knicks will get him because the Knicks probably won't. The Knicks are going to fluctuate between 4, 5, 6.
Unless some crazy voodoo shit happens.
It can't happen. I mean, right now.
It's happened before, though.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks have 27 wins. The Nets are locked in. I mean, the Lakers have 21 wins. The Suns have 22.
The Celtics.
Yeah, no, I know. So they're locked in.
The thing is, it doesn't run like football, so there always is a shot.
Yeah.
I think they said that it was like 25%
If we finish in fourth, there's a 20. No, if we finish in fourth, there's a 12.5% shot that we can get the number one pick.
We need a frozen envelope moment.
We need a frozen envelope.
We need a Patrick Ewing moment.
We need the Dallas Maverick year. We need all the help we can get there. Steve, I'm going to let you go, but we're going to talk about Josh McCown in a little bit, so we'll get back.
So stay around.
So stay around. Boy. Stay near your phone, and let's argue. I'll talk to you in a little bit. All right.
He sounds like he's not eating much. He sounds homeless.
He sounds emaciated. Yeah. He sounds like he's calling from like a Fred Flintstone bone phone.
I know it goes.
So after Kentucky beat the UCLA last night, Darian Fox's Wikipedia page under position, it says point guard, also Lonzo's daddy.
She's always on the porn websites during the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know. I got it. Yeah, he beat him. Great. A lot of fun. College sports, a lot of fun.
I'm not sure what news you get out of Pornhub.com, which is where she is now.
I think Pornhub.com is a very vital information. It's information. It's a source.
It's a source.
Who knew what PAWG meant before Pornhub.com?
I still don't.
I don't know.
Really?
No.
Fat ass white girl.
Ah, that's what it is. That's good. See, this is why this show is important, because you cover, we get sports, we get a little bit of politics, and then we get
anybody want to call in and ask about porn quotes, 718-928-9732. I did some research this morning. It was very good.
So as I was getting ready to come do the show, which means I was sitting at home doing nothing,
yes,
I saw Steven Matz is hurt.
Yeah.
Tenderness in the elbow.
Well.
That's not good.
Listen, this guy's one dainty Jew.
This is not good. Well.
He's dainty.
This is the man who slept on a couch.
Sleeps on a futon. His back's broke. Yeah. I never saw that before. I mean, buddy, your people went through the desert for 40 fucking years. You can't sleep on a fucking futon in Riverhead?
This is not good. It's not good.
Come on,
he's very
guy.
Fragile. He's tenderness in his surgically repaired elbow.
Okay.
It just doesn't sound good.
I understand, but to quell your fears, I'm going to just say one word. Gesellman.
Yeah.
Ooh. Have you seen this boy's curveball?
He's good.
Oh, my God.
There's no doubt.
It's better than good.
Well, Seth Lugo's curveball is better.
Well,
but I think Gesellman's the better pitcher.
And I don't know how many great Puerto Rican starting pitchers there are. I would not have started that guy. Seth Lugo against the United States.
He pitched very well.
He did.
Throughout the tournament.
But this is the Seth Lugo MO for the last year or so.
Oh, stop it.
No.
Here we go.
I like Seth Lugo.
Go ahead. Make up some stats. Here, I can feel
it. I'm not going to make up stats. When he gets hit, he gets rattled. He gets rattled, and he walks.
Saw him give up hits. Can you find his numbers?
When he starts walking people, I think he had 4 or 5 walks in the World Baseball Classic. When he starts walking people, it gets bad.
That's the general rule of baseball.
Yeah, but guys, like when Noah starts walking people, you're okay with Noah walking people because Noah can come back from it.
He's a superstar. I mean, Seth Lugo.
Seth Lugo did strike out 7 guys.
Yeah, no, he looked good.
He did strike out 7 guys. I think that pitch count, what is it, 75 pitches or 95 pitches?
No, I think it's
I think it's not an inning thing.
No, maybe 60 for the early rounds, and the late rounds maybe 75 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't understand. So that's why I would never watch that, because that's ridiculous.
I enjoyed the final game. I watched a little bit of the tournament, but I did fall asleep.
Yeah.
The USA went up 2-0.
You know.
But I was betting all my Puerto Rican friends. We were betting a bottle of rum versus a bottle of whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Got a lot of bottles of whiskey coming my way.
There you go.
It's good.
It's very so
but it was the World Baseball Classic. Nobody else in the world seems to like it other than myself. I think it's a lot of fun.
Oh,
I think guys
a lot of
play
that like it.
Okay, good.
A lot of people like it.
A lot of Dominicans,
Puerto Ricans, Cubans. You know,
guys play more free. It's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel.
It's a lot more fun.
It's a lot more fun. Exactly.
Oh. Yeah. Let's.
So look, the fact is, Steven Matz will not be on this roster opening day.
Probably
I'll tell you that right now.
Probably not.
Tenderness in an elbow.
Not good.
It's over.
But yeah,
It's not over.
Look at you becoming me.
Telling you because I know how to read injuries. I know how to read through the Mets. I can speak
the
Mets doctor language.
The Ray Ramirez hieroglyphics.
Yeah. When they say, well, he's going to take a couple days off. He won't throw for a while. That means see in 7 months.
So what is that? Like a pharaoh with an arm bandage?
Yeah, exactly.
On a wall.
Over. It's over. I read the tea leaves this morning.
Listen.
It's done. He's not going to pitch, and it's okay. He's very good, but we got Lugo, we got Gesellman. We got a lot of guys that can step up.
You can't have a man with a dainty body.
He's still throwing long tosses on Monday.
Okay, just let him throw his long tosses.
That's what they're saying.
Oh, my God.
I know how this goes.
Mr. Body over here.
Oh, one more thing, sir.
Yeah.
You know, I'm telling you.
This guy's young.
Yeah.
He fell off.
So, apparently, he says that the injury wasn't anything related to this 2010 Tommy John surgery, but now believes it's related to the October bone spur removal surgery.
Yep.
I don't care.
I'm telling you.
I don't care.
I can speak Mets language.
At this point, I'm not buying any starting pitchers' jerseys.
Mets pitchers.
Get a Bill Pulsifer jersey.
Mets pitchers will show up to the ballpark with no arms, and the front office would go, well, we're going to send him home for a little while and see if he recovers.
Throw today.
Yeah.
But
he will be long tossing next week.
Yeah. Off his nub. One of the things we wanna touch on too is the depth of the Mets rotation this year. This rotation, healthy, and we're seeing right now, I mean, if Wheeler can come back strong.
Zach Wheeler has looked very good.
I know, he's hit 94, 95. If Zach Wheeler can come back very strong, you don't need Steven Matz.
No.
And you have Gesellman and Lugo. This is what you have. I mean, and bear with me when I do this with you. Noah Syndergaard, Jacob deGrom, Matt Harvey, whatever. Steven Matz,
Zach Wheeler,
Gesellman, Lugo. I mean, it's still not done with Rafael Montero yet.
Who looks great in spring.
Who looks great. I mean,
that's 9 pitchers.
You've got 9 pitchers that would be in anybody's top 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Really?
Seth Lugo just started the title game for Puerto Rico. He would be
again.
He would be no, but I'm just saying.
I know what you're
he
saying.
Would be top three. He could be a two on some teams. You never. He could be a one.
I take him.
Yeah. At this point, yeah. I mean, yeah.
The caveat is Matt Harvey. I don't know what I'm gonna get, and I know you tell me you drafted,
Him in
you
fantasy,
drafted him on your fantasy baseball league. You don't know. I agree. I'm gonna get.
I got a great deal. I never did fantasy baseball this way. It's an auction. So you get a certain. I've never done that. It's pretty interesting. I think Harvey's going to bounce back. I don't know if he's going to be. I mean, I know I was sending you a bunch of memes yesterday about how he's the Dark Knight.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if he'll be that Dark Knight. But
I didn't care.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. You know what? When we communicate, I don't really care.
I don't
if you care. And you don't
care
if I care.
No.
As long as we send them.
Yeah. It's more. I got to send them to somebody.
More personal.
I don't care.
So, and I'm pushing my chips in on Zach Wheeler again. I know you've hated Zach Wheeler now. Guy's got no control. We'll see what happens.
I mean, always injured.
Yeah, he's injured.
Always injured.
We'll see. If this guy can stay healthy, he's a stud. Stud.
I would rather you be out there and blow.
You'd rather
than
be Matt
be
Harvey.
Out there.
Oh, of course.
You know?
Until he blows, and then you'll say, I wish this guy was hurt.
Yeah. I mean, who was I talking about this with the other day? Oh, Ahmed. Ahmed, if you're listening, call. About R.A. Dickey, how that Cy Young willed our future.
Oh, yeah.
How that person who was awful. I mean, he was awful before he became a knuckleball pitcher. He was awful, R.A. Dickey.
Well, he was awful before he came and met. I mean, he was decent.
Yeah,
but New York revitalized his career.
Yeah, he was getting better as a knuckleballer. But I also think if you go back and look at his stats before the Mets under.
Oh wait, let's look at Lugo's numbers.
Go ahead.
Lugo. Okay.
So he was 5-for-2 with a 2.67 ERA. What did I say?
5-4-2.
Oh, sorry. He pitched for 64 innings.
Can't put that puzzle together.
49 hits, 19 earned runs, 7 home runs.
He was 5-2 ERA of 2.67.
That's great.
It's very good.
It's great.
It's very good.
No, if you think 4 is good, that is great.
That's great.
That's great.
That's great. I don't like ERAs of 4. I'm just saying that's become the acceptable, quote-unquote, good ERA. You look at all the Mets starters, they're all 3 and under. Right around 3.5.
Three makes you a starter in baseball.
Yep, makes you a very good starter in baseball.
Four
below three, you're excellent.
Yeah,
you know,
below
nobody
two,
goes,
you know, Syndergaard and Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah,
those are the two guys that do that. Oh, by the by, I'm gonna go out on a very, very, very short limb here and tell you that Michael Fulmer is gonna win the Cy Young this year.
Yeah,
that kid is stupid.
He's great.
That kid
he's
is
great.
Fucking stupid.
And you know, we gave him up to get Cespedes.
I'm not saying
I would have done it. You make that deal 100 times out of 100.
A million times,
no doubt.
Absolutely. But I'm just telling you something. That the Tigers are not going to be a great team. I don't think it'll be a great team this year. I think that this kid has the potential to win between 17 and 20 games.
He was always good. When we traded him, that was a big piece we gave up. The surface of the team that was here now, nobody wanted to give up any of the big pitchers that we have.
Right.
But Fulmer was like 1A.
Yeah.
Of like, please don't give this guy up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, look, you got to trade talent to get talent. I mean, I think we're like 110 and 40, 50 something since Cespedes has come over.
Right.
So you got to make that deal.
Of course.
I'll tell you one thing, though. I have a feeling Clayton Kershaw is not going to have a great year. There's no logic to this.
You think the lingering back thing?
He's been injured a little bit, and it's just a feeling.
Because yesterday, he's got to be 30, right?
He's 30. It's got to be 30. Yeah. Yesterday he came up and I was like, I don't know. I don't think the Dodgers are going to be great this year. I really don't. But they're always consistently good.
So you don't think the Giants are going to be great? You don't think you think the Diamondbacks win in the NL West?
No, I mean, I think one of those teams are going to win the West, the Dodgers or the Giants. I just don't. I don't think they're going to be dominant 100 win teams.
Okay.
Kershaw is 29.
All right.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah, 29.
Okay.
Just turned 29.
That's amazing.
This guy's unreal.
How long has he been in the league? 10? 10 years?
It came in 2008.
Okay.
Nine years.
Wow. Yeah, he's been dominant ever since. Let's switch it over to...
Well, actually, one more note on the Mets. Juan Lagares.
I saw that.
Hurt. leaves with an oblique strain. The two injuries that I don't like in baseball is the oblique and the hamstring.
Lingers.
They both linger.
Oblique definitely lingers. And deep tissue bruises.
Because
they also
you can't,
linger.
With an oblique, you can't swing a bat.
Yeah.
So, you know, that opens it up for Conforto to be to be every day. Boy, is he not killing the ball.
Let's get to that first. So I read an article, I think it was either Fox Sports or Bleacher Report, I don't know which one, the conundrum of Michael Conforto. Now, the only problem with Michael Conforto is the problem that the Mets are putting in his head.
That he can't hit lefties?
That he can't hit lefties and that, hey, you're just going to start the season in the minors.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, and I know you're kind of stacked in the outfield, I'm giving Jay Bruce, and I like Jay Bruce, because the only way I think he's going to succeed in this particular lineup, you got to bat him right behind Cespedes.
Yeah.
Right at back to back, right behind
Cespedes. Actually, I would argue maybe put him before Cespedes.
And Bruce at three, Cespedes at four?
I want Bruce before Cespedes, because that gives him the protection.
Okay.
They're more likely to give him a hittable pitch than Cespedes.
Okay.
So.
One of the things I think with Jay Bruce is I'm not talking shit about Conforto, Steve. I'm not. What I'm going to tell you is that the Mets have to start him in the majors. You cannot put this kid back down in the minors because you're going to ruin this. You're going to ruin his brain. It's not even the hitting aspect of it. Whatever. That could be fixed. Kid could hit. I know he can hit. I just want him to hit more. That's all. I don't want he can't be a 215 12 home run and 58 RBI guy. He's got more potential than that. That's why I'm harder on him than, let's say, like, remember when Ruben Tejada left? I was upset, but I'm not like...
You thought Ruben Tejada to you was like, that was like your, like,
no.
You know, you're Derek Jeter.
I wanted him to be good. I wanted Ruben to be
good.
He was
never going
to
put it together.
Okay, I wanted him to be good. He's not.
Is he still a Yankee, by the way?
No. Yes.
He is, right?
He is?
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought he was gone.
Good old Rubes.
With Didi out, he might...
Oh, it's great.
He might what?
He might start.
That's great.
Oh, I'll be taking a lot of Yankee unders.
little Didi.
Little Didi. So with Michael Conforto, I want him there. I want him there. But I'm giving Jay Bruce till the All-Star break.
Yeah.
You got till the All-Star
Jay
break.
Jay Bruce can have 20 home runs but the All-Star break and be hitting somewhere around 245. I think he's going to have a good year. 245 is, you know, for him, if he has 20 home runs the All-Star break, I'd take that.
Well, the guy's actually a 264 career hitter.
Can we look that up?
He's a 264.
There's a little Trump here in his stats sometimes.
I did look that up. He's a 264 career hitter.
Which is not bad.
No, that's fine for what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy strikes out 140 times a year, but he's going to give you 35 home runs.
He strikes out 140 times a game. That's what it comes down to.
He really does. But it's this thing with the Mets. They don't want to rush up their prospects. And they've always been this way. And baseball is turning a corner, I feel like, where you can bring guys up at 19 and 20 now. Remember the last 10 years? It seems like they haven't been bringing guys up until like 25.
Yep.
Now, you're going to be seeing more 19, 20-year-olds in the game.
Well, the problem is it's not about development now. It's more about they don't want to start the clock under arbitration. Because the earlier you bring these guys up, the faster they get to a contract.
Right.
We have to pay them real money. By the way, Jay Bruce is a career 248 hitter. I don't know what website you're on, but
excuse me.
I would send them an editorial note.
I'm okay with 248, though.
Yep.
I don't have a problem with that. If you're going to hit 35 home runs. You got to hit 35 home runs. That's how it goes.
I don't think he's ever hit 35 home runs, has he? Let's see.
He's been over 30.
34 is the most in 2012.
If he hits 30 home runs, I'd be thrilled.
30. If he hits 25.
He's going to have 20 at the break. Well,
He had 25 before he moved to you guys.
So. And then he hit 8 the rest of the way.
33? That's 33.
33.
It's
not 35.
That's 8 more than 25.
It's true.
So.
You heard it here, folks.
There you go. 33 is more than 25. But with Conforto, I want him starting on the bench in the majors. That's where he should be.
The problem, too, is for these guys, for him, he's down in AAA. He's in the minors. He's down
every
in AAA. You
week,
can't do that
guy's
shit.
Guy's taking a bus every
you know?
Fucking week.
It's not even a bus. It's a plane because you guys are freaking in
No,
Vegas.
But they call it like riding the bus. Like,
yeah,
that's I understand. Just, yeah. But you guys, it's even worse because you're literally having to go across the country.
Yeah, and the Vegas stats, don't be fooled by those. You could hit 770. It's dry as shit out there. Don't be fooled by that.
Yeah, but he I mean, he tears it up in AAA. This is my fear about him. I'm gonna say it for the first time out loud, and it's gonna become real.
He's a AAA hitter.
I just hope AAA he's not power. One of those guys that hits .315 in AAA.
He comes up here and hits .220.
Because you know who's like that? It's Kevin Plawecki. Plawecki is a great hitter in the minor leagues. Guy hits .300 consistently with some power. Comes to the major leagues, and I don't know what the fuck happens.
Yeah.
So, Conforto, though, has more natural skill. He's got a beautiful swing.
Great arm, too.
And, yeah, he plays good defense. The thing about him, too, remember in that postseason, he was not rattled.
No.
He produced.
Yeah.
He had a home run off Clayton Kershaw at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
He has a lot of upside. He just needs more playing time.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but he needs to figure it out in the majors. When we say the Mets outfield is stacked, I hate using that term because it's really not. When I hear stacked, I think you got studs everywhere.
No,
Granderson it's hard to say your outfield is stacked when you have Granderson out there.
But
you know,
but if Curdy gives you 20, that's all
you need. I'll take it.
Curdy's not going to hit .280 anymore.
Yeah.
It's just not the way.
Well, he had the great quote. I sent it to you when they were talking to him. He said, you want to play center field? And he said, well, I'm not going to be Kelly Leak out there or anything, but I'll do it.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm just saying, like, if Curtis gives you .250, it's between 15 and 20 home runs and between 60 and 75 RBIs, that's fine.
It depends where he hits in the lineup. You know, if Numbnuts has him leading off, I hope so.
Jose's
you never know. You don't know with right? You don't know with Terry. You don't just don't know with
I
Terry.
I put Curtis down in the 7 hole.
If he hits lower, I'm fine.
Yeah, I put Curtis down in the 6-7 hole in that area.
If he's going to hit in the top of the order, he needs to draw some walks, which he can do.
Well, if he's going to hit in the top of the order, that's going to move Neil Walker back to 5th and probably Oswald Cabrera back to 7th.
I like Cabrera out of the 2 hole.
I like him. I like him there too. I don't like Walker at the 5. I want Walker
at the 3?
The 2.
I'd take him at the 2 too.
I'd put Walker at the 2 and Cabrera. I would have Cabrera bat in front of Curtis. I would have Cabrera at 6, Curtis at 7, and your catcher at 8.
Darnold looks good this spring. I know you hate Travis Darnold. We'll see.
I'm giving him, hey.
We'll
see. As a catcher, you get 3 years.
We know spring training stats don't matter unless you're Cespedes.
This is your third fucking year. Yep. This is it. This is what I got for you. All right. And in terms of stacked, what I mean by stacked is you got guys that have produced over the last 3 years who are generally considered still major league talent. Not you don't have Gary Sheffield trotting out the last year of his fucking career. You know
which was exciting. I mean, I was excited to have Gary Sheffield. That man hit some unbelievable home runs.
Yeah,
as a
eight.
Met. No, he had more than 8 home runs. Man. Can you bring us Gary Sheffield's numbers?
Yeah,
because bring me him
hitting .235.
He was a lot of fun.
Okay. But with that's what I mean by stacked. And I think if Conforto can get, let's say you go series for series. You have Conforto one series, Granderson one series. And you still can get
but
Conforto
it's also
80 games.
But it's also hard.
I know. It's hard to,
it's hard to produce.
It's rhythmic.
You know?
I understand.
So
I completely understand that. So then you got to decide. In the middle of this year, you got to decide.
But you
got
to make a
do.
Decision and stick to it. Well, even if Conforto's hitting .220, you got to let him get out of it. Keith always says that. You know, the way to get through a slump is to keep playing.
Keep swinging. Yeah.
So, you know, what they do is the kid hits .220, they send him down so he can get his mind right.
I agree.
That doesn't help because you're going to hit .220 up here. You're going to face less competition, hit .350.
And then come back up here and hit .220 again.
Right.
Absolutely. And that's why I think this particular offseason was great for the Mets that they re-signed Cespedes. But also surprising, I think Sandy was surprised that there wasn't as many trade offers for Jay Bruce as he thought there was going to be.
Yeah.
He was shocked.
Yeah, I think.
And it sort of was like, well, what do we do now? We got to do something.
The guy, it's not like the guy's not talented.
No, yeah.
So it's an okay problem to have.
And
nobody
also
wants his strikeouts. Nobody wants his defense.
Right, but I also think the money that you're paying him warrants Jay Bruce sticking around another year. You're paying him $13 million. That's really nothing for a guy that'll give you, hopefully, 25 to 30 home runs. That's really on the cheap side.
Yeah.
So
no, I think it was a good trade.
I think Grandy we'll you're paying 17 or 16.
Grandy's making money.
Yeah, but Grandy.
But Grandy,
it's
Grandy
the veteran.
Chips in another way.
Yes.
Exactly.
Grandy's a morale booster. He's good with the fans. He's good with the club. Good with the media. I mean, I also think David Wright being injured, it'll make him more
that.
Of a spokesman.
Yeah.
More of an assistant coach. He can see what's going on. I don't know if Terry would take his opinion. I'm sure he would. I'm sure Terry would
he
take David
him.
Wright's opinion. But I think this is the year that you're going to see mostly David Wright step into that role that I think the future holds for him. I think he's going to be a manager in the major league someday. Let's
Gary Sheffield's numbers, just so you know, as a Met, he hit .276 with 10 home runs, 43 RBIs. Oh,
excuse me, two more home runs. All right. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Exactly.
Those
whatever.
Were bad years.
Yeah, whatever.
Those are bad years. Was that
2009?
That was bad.
Yeah.
Ooh. Those. Ooh. Oh, that was the year I was sitting out there when we were 35 games back in September in the rain, yeah, watching Gary Sheffield hit home runs.
Well, we're just over a week away from opening day.
God, I'm so
next
excited.
Weekend. Next week is one of the most exciting.
Eight days to be me. Yeah, well, me too.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, Saturday, we're gonna watch Manchester United.
Yeah, Saturday.
If
Dustin,
anybody wants to watch with us,
yeah, Dustin, if you're listening, we're me and Jay are gonna come to the Red Lion in the city and watch Manchester United with you, from 10 to about 12:30. Then we're gonna go to the track, he and I, and then Sunday I'm going over his house.
Saturday night, let's not forget, which you don't care about, is the WWE Hall of Fame.
Who's inducted?
Teddy Long, one of the referees, is being inducted.
Teddy Long?
Ravishing Rick Rude.
I never liked him.
You didn't like Rick Rude?
Nah, I wasn't a fan.
No?
DDP? Like
DDP's going in.
Who's inducting him?
Don't remember. It'll come to me.
Probably Jake the Snake. It should be Jake the Snake.
I feel like it's Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff.
You ever shit in a guy's shoe?
I can't stand Eric Bischoff. But then that night is also NXT, the takeover
show.
Is
it Jim Cornette? Jim Cornette, Michael Hayes.
Michael is already in. I think he's doing the Rock and Roll Express. Which
yes.
Is a great tag team.
And it's only good. I would watch that only to see Jim Cornette come back and shit on the WWF.
He's such a scumbag.
I love him. He's funny.
But he's very insightful.
He knows wrestling like the back of his hand.
And then Sunday is WrestleMania, of course.
Yes, I will be at Jay's house for WrestleMania after the show, though I have no vested interest in WrestleMania. I will watch this one pay-per-view. I don't mind it.
And then Monday morning, we'll wake up bright and early.
Get a coffee
and just go.
Woo!
Just go. Woo! I've confirmed our attendance at the tailgate, by the way.
Tailgate!
I've signed us up for that, so that'll be good. And now let's talk about a real great move by the New York Jets.
What you're going to make fun of is actually a $6 million deal with incentives to be a $15 million deal if we make the playoffs. So it's a $6 million deal.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
The contract, what we said last week was it just depends what the number is, right, if they were to sign him.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
It's a good deal. It's a good deal to go nowhere.
But here's the problem. If he does semi-well and gets you to 8-8,
not gonna happen.
That's not what you need.
I know, but I don't even think 8-8's gonna happen. Steve believes that 6-10 is gonna happen. I don't think that's gonna happen.
Could be 6-10.
I don't think it's gonna happen. I think God will it. Who doesn't exist? You're 3-13.
Well,
I'm ready for it.
The best part of that deal, and this is just it's great. It's his Super Bowl bonus. I think it gets a bonus if they make the Super Bowl and if they win the Super Bowl.
Did Josh McCown ask for that? Because if I'm Mike McCown, I would have just wrote down Super Bowl $5 million. Sure.
I would love to have been in that law firm drawing up that contract. Let's give him the Super Bowl bonus.
Yeah, yeah, give him. And I still think the Jets are in the market to draft a quarterback. I'm not saying that this is it.
Oh, I agree.
I think they can draft a quarterback. They met with Kaiser. They met with Trubisky. I don't think you're getting Trubisky.
I just don't think he falls.
I think the Niners take him the three picks before us.
Yeah.
Now, Deshaun Watson, I'm hearing he's going to fall back.
I'd be very excited to see him play in New York.
Again, I like him. I don't like mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not
a fan of that. Look, I mean, listen.
It can work, though.
It can work. It can work when you have a good offensive line.
Sure.
You have a running game to match up with, and you have two superstar wide receivers. Okay, you're going to make the case Russell Wilson never had that.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
I'm going to say to you, Doug Baldwin is a top-tier wide receiver.
Top-tier.
I'm not going to say a superstar.
Top-tier, I agree with
top
you.
Top-tier.
I draft
Marshawn
him.
Lynch, superstar.
Superstar. All-planet.
Offensive line, superstars. Also, the all-planet defense they had when they won that Super Bowl. Okay, the Seattle Seahawks are never winning a Super Bowl again. They're not there anymore.
Never again in their franchise history?
Not
or this group?
This group. Mm-hmm. They're not there anymore.
Yep.
Their offensive line stinks. They don't have, I mean, they signed Eddie Lacy. That really depends if he's 275 pounds or 240
He is overweight
pounds.
Again.
Yeah.
That's the report.
There's a weight clause.
I saw that.
There's a weight clause.
Well, there's a bonus. His bonuses are attached to his weight.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's incentive. But one
you are slimming down, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you.
That's
one of the things I want to say about Seattle is that when you look at a team that was so well built, you can't. That can't last. Unless you're the Patriots, who just keep making moves and moves and moves and moves. Seattle didn't really do that. They didn't make blockbuster deals and moves and moves and moves. They let it play out for a couple of years, and I don't see them getting back. Now, Josh McCown, 3 wins. And if you're going to go down with Bilal Powell as your feature back, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I don't think he's a feature back. I think he's really, really good. Steve, don't. I know you're blowing your brains out in Seattle right now. But I'm just saying, he's really, really good. He's not a feature back. I know, 5.1 yards a carry. I understand. I got you.
Well, we don't know if he's a feature back.
Yeah, he's never been. So if you want to make him a feature back for this year, I mean, hopefully, whatever happens, this is Todd Bowles' last year.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Okay?
Does he make the whole year?
Yeah. Okay. That doesn't matter. But we know we're going to be bad. I know he's talking about it's not a rebuild. Oh, whatever.
I hate when teams say that.
Whatever.
There's nothing wrong with saying it's a rebuild.
Tell me it's going to be a bad year. You think Jet fans don't notice it's going to be a bad year? It's going to be a bad year. I understand that. I'm okay with it.
I love how Sandy Alderson would always say, no, we're not rebuilding. We're just keeping, like, looking towards the future.
Yeah.
Or, like, some double speak.
Yeah.
It was great.
That's the thing. Is this move terrible? No. Is this move great? No. Does it impact me in any way? It only impacts me if you draft a quarterback, which I do think they're going to, whether it be the first round or the second round. I think it's one of the two rounds they're going to draft a quarterback. Now, does McCown start as a bridge? Is McCown there for insurance? I don't know that just yet.
Oh, McCown's the starter. Who's going to start? Hackenberg?
Well, what I'm saying is if you draft the Trubisky, draft the Watson, is McCown the bridge to them, or do you start them right away? Because let me tell you, I grew up in a land where the NFL, you just started your quarterbacks. That's what you did. When Peyton Manning had a horrible first year, look how that turned out. Tom Brady didn't have a great first year. Look at that turn. I mean, it all works out. If you let these guys take their lumps, I think Carson Wentz is going to be a top 6 or 7 quarterback next year. If you let these guys their lumps their first year, they will be good. Look at Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston.
Yep.
He's going to be really good.
Famous Jameis.
He's going to be really good. Marcus Mariota, first year wasn't great. I was wrong about Marcus Mariota.
Pretty
He's
good.
One of the top 5 quarterbacks in football.
Yep.
So it's going to work itself. Derek Carr, same thing. It's all going to work itself
the
out
problem
if you
is,
let these guys take their lumps.
The problem is in New York, it's a lot harder to
I
do
understand
that. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it.
No.
I'm just saying, one loss in New York is like 15 losses in other places.
Yes. And I'm here to tell you now that if you do start one of the quarterbacks you draft, I'm with it. Whatever your record is, I'm with it. If you're 0-16 or 16-0, I'm with it. Because that means you're actually looking toward the future.
Do you really feel that Maccagnan is the guy?
I'm starting to doubt it a little bit. I think he knows talent. I don't think he wanted Todd Bowles. I really don't believe that.
That was a Woody Johnson move?
I think that was a Woody Johnson move. He hired those big law firms to type in a name. Yeah. Hey, who doesn't know how to read a clock? Hey, Todd Bowles, get me that guy.
But that's the same. Rex Ryan had the same fucking problem.
I know.
It's amazing.
And I've said this for years. Defensive-minded coaches don't win anything. They do not win, and especially here. What wins you football? Points. Who scores the points?
Offense.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Order
thank
up.
Thank you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, your defense has to be good.
Let me ask you a question. I might have asked this before on the show, but it's coming back to me now. Would you have taken Tom Coughlin as your head coach?
When
you signed Bowles, let's say. If he was available, would you have signed Tom Coughlin?
No, only because I think he was past his expiration date.
Okay.
That's all. Not
mental faculties.
Yes. There were a couple of games there where he was very cold in the snow. I just thought he froze.
Yeah.
I just thought he was dead.
And he wasn't bothered by it. Man, it's a nuts.
Yeah.
He's a nut job.
So
we'll see. The jury's still out on the diddler. I'm not totally sold yet on McAdoo.
He's diddles.
Yeah.
But one of the things I think I would have done before Todd Bowles is I would have thrown all the money at Jack Del Rio. Jack Del Rio was the smarter play. Look what he's doing with the Raiders. Not saying that the Raiders are great yet. They're going to be there.
They're highly competitive.
They're highly competitive, but they're going to be there.
Mo Wilkerson's overweight, by the way.
Mo Wilkerson's got to stop.
He's done.
Mo Wilkerson's got to focus on football and not reporters.
He's done.
He's not done.
He's done.
He's not done.
He's done with the Jets.
No, he's not.
He's done with the Jets.
Sheldon Richardson
mentally, he's done with the Jets.
Well, then why'd you take the money?
If you offered me millions of dollars and I was done with you as a friend, I'd still take your money.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't offer you millions of dollars.
See you next week.
But one of the true moments we're going to talk about here, though, is how do you get the best out of a football team that you don't expect anything out of? What do you get the best out? How can you get the best out of them? You have to have the right coach in there.
Yeah, of course.
This guy ain't it.
So we always mock the Giants, right? 1-6, and not only are we going to win the Super Bowl. That's a credit to Coughlin. When these guys were losing and they didn't have a great record and the talent might not have been perfect, he rallied them to play well. A good coach can rally his team to rise above expectation. And sometimes that's the easiest way to play. When nobody expects anything from you, there's no pressure.
Todd Bowles just
execute.
Todd Bowles looks like a raisinette with gray hair and no upper lip.
I don't think he has hair, actually. I think he's bald.
It's very annoying. He's got alopecia. It's very annoying.
But that man's diseases are annoying.
I don't know. So let's get to European football. I don't know if anybody saw what Cristiano Ronaldo did yesterday against Hungary. I know it's Hungary. But, oh, my God, one of the great free kicks. Did you see it, Linda?
I did not.
I'm going to look at it.
Watch
right now.
The free kick. Unbelievable. I miss him very much. I love that man. I don't care what anybody says. Who is the greatest free kick taker in history? Hey, I'm going to give you Cristiano Ronaldo. You can go Lionel Messi. You can go Paul Pogba. You could say Francesco Totti. You could say Cannavaro. You could say Roberto Baggio. I'm going to give you Cristiano Ronaldo. And you could also say Paolo Maldini. You could do any of those. And I would go, okay, you're right. But Cristiano Ronaldo, God. God forever. David Beckham, too. God, but Cristiano Ronaldo.
Also
was
the best looking free kick taker in the world.
Which one?
Lord.
Ronaldo.
Ronaldo's beautiful.
I mean, come on.
David Beckham's a beautiful
man. Beckham's
a
good looking man, too.
David Beckham's a beautiful man.
There's something like more... There's something sexy about Beckham. Ronaldo's just beautiful.
I feel like David Beckham's more down to earth.
No, absolutely. He looks like a man.
David Beckham have a beer with you. Cristiano Ronaldo would scoff at you.
No, I just want a Ronaldo statue in my house. You know, I'd like to be friends with David Beckham.
I want a Ronaldo statue in my house. I just want to be friends with David Beckham.
I can understand that.
Yeah, thank you.
I get that. That's why
we're here.
Is that why?
Yep.
Anywho, so next week, Manchester United play West Brom at home. Very important game. We have to win that.
We're just going
to
skip over the USA.
Oh, no. Go ahead, Linda. Got a minute and 40 seconds. Go.
Pulisic is the man.
Christian Pulisic is nasty. No, Christian Pulisic is
He's the truth.
No, he plays for Borussia Dortmund.
He orchestrated that game so beautifully. It was gorgeous. I'm excited for USA soccer again.
Me too.
I'm really happy about that.
I love it.
I mean,
Bum of the week?
Now I'm going to tell you it's Jurgen Klinsmann. Because he's not the coach anymore.
God, I know.
He couldn't play
Dempsey and
Pulisic together.
Well, yep. Dempsey was
Why
hurt.
Not? Okay, but why? Okay, how about you play Pulisic at all?
Dempsey had a hat trick, didn't he?
Yeah. Yep. Pulisic set up three of those.
Yes, he literally orchestrated it.
So there you go.
Beautiful.
Who's your bum of the week?
My bum of the week is good old Paul Ryan and his healthcare bill, which dead on arrival. It was a terrible idea when he started it. Clearly, even the people who were going to vote on it were like, this is not important enough, and didn't make it.
We all have problems with the current administration. But I'm going to tell you one great thing that this administration's going to do. They're going to legalize sports gambling.
Yeah.
And I can't wait.
You're wrong.
No.
You're wrong.
No. This is the real media talking to you here. Yeah. I can't wait till I can just walk into my local coffee shop and say, hey, can I get a croissant, a large coffee, and I'll take the over on Bristol City. What do you think about that? And she'll say, I don't know about Bristol City. And I'll say, well, Bristol City's a good team because they have Tammy Abraham. And Tammy Abraham's a good striker.
He's
a
big. Rugby.
We're going to bet on rugby.
No, this is usual 26-second outro.
The Go West Eagles. The West Coast Eagles. They beat.
You do realize that next week at this time will be 24 hours from opening day.